Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. We are on to week 8. It is Field and Matthew and Stefania. And Kyle Soppy is in for Daniel Dobb today, holding down the fort, ready to shine.
Oh, yeah.
He's got this.
That's how it is.
No pressure from Kyle Soppy, who never feels any pressure. He is unflappable and unstoppable when it comes to his work ethic. We are going to recap Monday Night Football, kind of a snoozer of a game. We're going to talk about waiver wire pickups and some news as well. Matthew, am I allowed to ask how you're doing today or no?
You're always allowed to ask.
Okay, you just get bored.
Have I ever... In all seriousness, in the many years you and I have worked together, in the many shows you and I have done together, we've done a zillion podcasts together, we've done a zillion Fantasy Football Nows, we've done some fantasy shows, we've done a couple of marathons together, you and I. Have I ever once, in all the time that we have spent together professionally, ever said to you, I can't believe you asked me that?
Yeah, actually like a week and a half ago, you were like, why did you ask me how I'm doing?
Why didn't you ever mention it?
But it was just, it wasn't that I was upset by the question. I think we should mix it up. But yeah, I'm doing good.
That was what I was referencing.
I'll answer any question you ask me.
Okay. Ooh, this is interesting. Stefania, anything you want to clear the air on with Matthew?
Yeah, ask me anything. I don't care. What do I care?
Wow. Where do I begin?
I am at a point in my life where I have zero
words because I've got
zero
so
blanks
many
left
things
to give.
That, you know, I've had I known, I would have gotten that list.
You would have prepared?
Yeah.
That's well. Anyway, if anything comes up in the chat, Thursday, Kyle, you can by all means.
You're an open book.
Yeah, I have zero blanks
is it a
left to give.
Book?
Yeah, a picture book. Yeah, basically.
No
I mean,
words.
I'm not bright. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know that it'll be a great. Ask me anything. What do I care?
Okay,
we'll find out on today's show or tomorrow's show. We will ask Matthew literally anything. All right, so let's get into the news.
How's your Washington football team doing?
Hey,
oh, okay.
You know, Stefania,
how long do we have?
I was going to say we don't have enough time in this podcast.
Listen,
to answer that
here's
question.
The one thing I can tell you about the Washington football team.
Okay, they're better than the Lions.
And no, I have this from a very good authority.
Okay,
the culture is damn good.
That's right.
That's what
sure
I'm told.
Is. Yeah,
that's what I'm told. Yeah. We're a disaster. We're a disaster of a franchise. Do you understand this is a team that had a 30-year waiting list for season tickets and we're now bottom five in attendance in the NFL? Like, they can't give tickets to this team away.
It makes absolutely no sense to me to not see nearly full stadiums in the NFL. Each team has at maximum 9 regular season home games per year. The NFL is the most popular sport in our country by like 50. Ridiculous. Like,
it's
we
a
are 50 times more popular. You are not in some small city. You are actually in an area that caters to multiple regions, right? I mean,
multiple
before
regions,
the Baltimore Ravens,
multiple,
that's all they had in the Mid-Atlantic.
Correct. Multiple regions. It is a beloved, storied franchise. It is, I think I saw a Forbes article that said it's one of the top 5 most valuable sports franchises in the NFL. So it is one that has worldwide appeal. I can't make an argument for going to see that team in person. Why would you want to?
Maybe if you are a fan of another team that's struggling right now.
That's the problem.
You could go watch Washington to feel better about your team.
Maybe.
Like Stefania.
It's unbelievable what's happened to that franchise.
Well, here's what I'll say.
And what's frustrating for me is that it's in my blood. I will be a Washington fan till the day I die.
Right. Yeah. Well,
I can't get it out. Like, you hear these people saying, like, well, I was a fan of this team. And then Sue Bird last night on the Manning cast. Did you see that interview with Sue Bird?
She was great.
Listen, Sue Bird's a legend, right? She is asked and answered. She is a legend. She is amazing. But she talks about she was talking on the show about how she grew up a Giants fan and now she's a Seahawks fan. I don't know how that happens.
Well, he spent 20 years of your life somewhere.
I get it.
Develop
but
a
like,
friendship with Russell Wilson. I don't know. Things like that can probably influence you a little bit.
Somewhat,
right,
but
let's,
I don't
let's
know.
Get to the football. Let's get to the news. And Stefania, we got a major, major piece of news yesterday in Green Bay surrounding probably their second best player on the roster.
Yeah, Davante Adams added to the reserve COVID-19 list. Adam Schefter reporting that he tested positive. And the reason it's so significant is because the Packers play on Thursday night. Mm. So it makes the timeline for his turnaround very, very tight. We've talked about this before, vaccinated versus unvaccinated players. Vaccinated players have an opportunity to return after testing negative consecutively 24 hours apart. So they have to have two negative PCR tests 24 hours apart and be asymptomatic for those 48 hours. It would appear that he is a vaccinated player based on sort of the immediate aftermath of the news and the protocols that are followed, but still making it back for a Thursday game. And the team will travel on Wednesday to Arizona, by the way. So, you know, the timeline is very, very tight.
I'm not usually the one to be assigning timelines or estimating on injuries on this show. That's much more Stefania's wheelhouse, but I would think it's fair to classify this as a long shot for Thursday night for him to play against the Cardinals, Matthew, which opens up a conversation about who steps up in his absence. And I think people want to know, is it one wide receiver? Is it multiple wide receivers? Is it a receiver and a tight end? Is it a running back who gets more work? What do you make of how this impacts that Packers offense?
Listen, it's obviously an impact. First off, I'd agree with you. It feels like a very tight timeline for Davante Adams to get cleared. He was just placed on the list yesterday, and you just heard Stefania talk about the fact that he needs two negative tests in a row, 24 hours apart, plus to being asymptomatic. And so feels highly unlikely that Davante Adams plays on Thursday night. So my expectation is sort of twofold. Like, I think it's a pass-catching team by committee. I think you see Aaron Jones more involved in the passing game. The expectation now, Stefania, I believe, is that Marquez Valdes-Scantling will be activated and ready for this game.
That is what it looks like.
Right. So you have MVS back. You've got Bob Tonyan. But if I had to sort of put my dart, if you will, on one player that is not Aaron Jones, give me Alan Lazard, who has 11 targets over the last 2 weeks, who has scored in back-to-back weeks, who had four red zone targets in the last two games. And, you know, feels like this is a game where the over-under is extremely high. We expect the Cardinals to be able to score on Green Bay. So Aaron Rodgers, who's always awesome, but especially in primetime games.
Especially in Arizona.
Yeah. Exactly. Stay till the last second, right? I mean, I feel like Alan Lazard is somebody that who's, by the way, Alan Lazard available in 95% of ESPN leagues. If you need a wide receiver for this week only, to me, Alan Lazard is the pickup this week.
Yeah, I agree. And I bumped up Tonyan into my rankings for tight ends this week. I bumped up Aaron Jones in my running back rankings. Not a great matchup. I know Mike Clay's projections initially had Aaron Jones fairly low relative to where you would normally be accustomed to seeing him. But there have been some games in which Aaron Jones has played, Davante Adams has not. I think there's a little bit of a sample size issue to consider. But for what it's worth, in those games, Aaron Jones has taken it to another level, especially as a pass catcher. So perhaps Green Bay says some of the stuff that we normally run with Davante Adams, not the same plays, but some of the concepts, some of the situations, we turn to Aaron Jones instead. So a tough one for Green Bay. We'll obviously have more updates on this if anything changes. But for now, plan on going a different direction on Thursday night with your wide receiver one spot.
And here's the other thing I just want to say about this. Because, look, losing a player the quality of Davante Adams is tough, right? I mean, like, you're not replacing number 17. Like,
correct.
He's one of, if not the best wide receiver in the NFL. So it's disappointing that we don't have that player. It would have been really fun to see him versus DeAndre Hopkins, right, in that primetime game. That's going to be a great game. But I think Aaron Rodgers still has a monster game here.
I'm not
downgrading Rodgers in any way, shape, or form here.
Yeah, he's a little bit lower on my quarterback board than he might be in another week, but I still have him inside my top 10. Yeah, I mean, still a clear starter for me.
Again, losing Davante Adams is a loss, but Aaron Rodgers is so good, and they have enough guys there, and they're going to pass so much, and it's going to be such a positive game script for the Packers versus Kyler Murray and the Cardinals.
Right.
I'm not worried about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is going to be just fine.
One more piece of news is that the Jets have reacquired Joe Flacco in a trade with Philadelphia. Flacco, who was with the Jets last year, comes aboard for a potential fifth-round pick. It's a sixth-round pick that can become a five based on a playing time incentive for Joe Flacco. Of course, this comes on the heels that Zach Wilson's going to miss somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks, as we discussed yesterday. I tend to think, Matthew, this is a non-starter for fantasy, and I'm not talking about Joe Flacco. Like, I don't think the ripple effects were that significant for the Jets pass catchers. You might see it slightly differently.
I do. I assuming Joe Flacco becomes the starter here, mm-hmm. I don't think he starts this week, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think it'll be Mike White, but it feels weird to deal for a veteran like this if you're not going to start him. In this sense, my point is that if they're just like, you know what, it's a lost season, let's see what we have in Mike White. We'll roll him out there for 2 to 4 weeks and just have depth. We'll go find somebody off of a practice squad, or we'll go grab somebody. Yeah. Like, they could do that. So it feels like you don't, even though it's only what a six that could become a fifth, even though they're only doing, you know, it's not that much, it's still something for a team that has a lot of holes and is rebuilding. To give up a draft pick that could potentially be a fifth rounder, it feels like they expect Joe Flacco to start fairly quickly.
I think at some point, yeah. I mean, it could be as soon as this week. I mean, it's not like it's the same system, but he at least knows many people within that offense. I think this was also about like having an adult in the quarterback room.
Right.
They have Josh Johnson on the practice squad, but he's certainly very well traveled, right? Like, Joe Flacco, say what you want about him recently. You can make as many jokes as you want. Joe Flacco has been around for a long time. He's literally been the Super Bowl MVP. He's won a ton of games. There's a lot that Zach Wilson can glean from having a guy like Joe Flacco around that I think the Jets feel like they've missed out on so far early this season. And having him aboard, even if he only starts for one game, will be a useful addition for the long-term development of the rookie quarterback.
Yeah, which makes a ton of sense. And I'd like to spend the next 40 minutes debating whether or not he's elite. Can we do that?
Please, let's have
that. Yeah. No, in all seriousness here about Joe Flacco, I actually think this is a positive for the complimentary players on the Jets.
Okay.
So he played in essence 4 games last year. There was a fifth game where he threw like 2 passes. But for the 4 games, the majority of the 4 games that Joe Flacco started for the Jets, Jameson Crowder had a 23% target share.
Mm. Yeah, different year though.
Very
different year.
Very different year. I get it. But all I'm going to say is that Joe Flacco, to your point, jokes aside with everything, Joe Flacco is a professional quarterback.
And you're going to say
but I don't see that as an insult. Like, he is a solid professional quarterback who can run an offense, who can hit players in stride, that he tells a guy to, 10 yards and then 2 yards in, and the ball's going to be there, right? I mean, sometimes. is he the Super Bowl MVP that he was years ago? No, his play has fallen off. But he's a solid professional quarterback.
Did you just say that, 2 years ago?
No, a few years ago.
Oh, two. It was like 10, wasn't it?
No, I know. Whatever. I was being kind. Whatever. Handful of years ago. Whatever. Yeah. My point is that for the Corey Davis, Jameson Crowders of the world, for Michael Carter, I mean, Joe Flacco has had a number of, whether it was, Danny Woodhead for, a couple of years there in Baltimore. Like, over the years, Joe Flacco likes to dump off to his running back. I don't have any stats off the top of my head, but just anecdotally, that's sort of my thought process here. Michael Carter, who got a ton of work this past week, and in the passing game, I think it's helpful for Carter. I think it's helpful for Jameson Crowder. I think it's helpful for Corey Davis. And we'll see if Elijah Moore manages to emerge as well. I think this is good for the usefulness of any of those guys.
Not buying it. I mean, Zach Wilson is the number 2 overall pick. Like, the dude was making, he has zero help around him whatsoever. He was making some ridiculous throws, especially to Corey Davis on occasion. And I mean, maybe a little bit. Like, it's possible that Jameson Crowder scores more points per game over however many points or however many games Joe Flacco starts for the Jets compared to where he's been for Zach Wilson. But I don't know. Like, I might move him up from like wide receiver 47 to like wide receiver 45 this week. Like, and I'm not even sure that'll change. I really don't know. Like, I think this is a non-starter for fantasy personally. Sorry, Joe.
We'll see how it plays out.
We shall see in just a few.
I think it's a positive for people out there that are counting on those Jets players.
Yeah.
That are using them, and it's more deeper leagues than anything else, right? It's not really standard ESPN leagues.
Yeah.
But in deeper leagues, I do think this is a positive if you've been rostering and using those players.
Okay. We disagree. We'll find out over the next few weeks, depending on how much Joe Flacco actually plays for the Jets. Let's recap Monday Night Football, and the Saints win 13-10, and man, this one was a tough watch. How about this? Geno Smith, on his very first completion of the night, had 84 passing yards. He had 11 more completions after that. For 83 yards.
Yeah.
One play, literally more than 50% of his fantasy production, 11.9 fantasy points. I got to tell you, and I can tell you because I was going to say, if I were a Seahawks fan, I can tell you this because I watched the game last night with our friend Mina Kimes, who you all know this by now, but she is one of the biggest Seahawks fans in the world. She lives for her Seahawks, and watching her have to watch this offense last night pained me. Because I don't have any idea what the Seahawks are trying to accomplish with their offense right now. I'm not saying Geno Smith was great, because he was not great. But the Seahawks' insistence on 3 yards in a cloud of dust in the running game was mind-boggling last night. Part of the reason why this game, A, went fast, and B, was so low-scoring, was because their strategy on first down, hand the ball off for Alex Collins, who, by the way, like made something out of nothing on a handful of plays.
And
like he turned negative 2 yard runs into half yard runs, but they were still good runs, if that makes sense.
Yep.
It was just a masterclass in ineptitude from the Seahawks last night, Matthew. And until Russell Wilson returns, which sounds like it's probably still 2 weeks away at minimum, because they have their bye in week 9, and B, obviously he has to miss at least this game because of IR rules. Until that happens, Matthew, I'm nervous about our two friends, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, it was brutal. I mean, like, just ineptitude on every aspect of the ball. Talking NFL here for real quickly, 1 second here. Like, the penalties on that final drive, the missed field goal, two missed field goals here, the mind-boggling play call.
Yeah, they had nine straight runs at one point. Straight runs, and it wasn't like it was nine straight runs where like they jammed the football down the Saints'
and they're
throats.
Really doing well.
It was like nine straight runs, which resulted in 3 punts.
Yeah, I mean, you have DK Metcalf.
Yeah,
throw it to like, and I watched the entire game on the Manning cast.
Yeah, he got clamped last night though. DK.
Lattimore had a great game. There's no question. But like they talked about this on the Manning cast about like throw him open.
Yeah.
Give him a shot. Maybe you get a pass interference, maybe something. Just do anything to open up the running. Even if you take a couple of shots and they don't work out, at least it opens up the running game a little bit.
Totally. Yeah.
So there's my reaction to that. Second reaction, I think also more important, Stefania, Kyle, did either of you get invited to the party with Mina Kimes? Because I didn't.
I was not there.
No.
Interesting.
Rico and I had our own little party.
Yeah, I watched it with my wife. And the Mannings.
What are you saying about your company with Beth?
I'm just saying, like, okay. It would have been nice. It's just like nice to know, like, in terms of where we are.
You don't have
socially
to be invited everywhere, Matt.
Mike Golic Jr. was
never
also invited. Does that make you feel better?
No, it makes me feel worse.
Gojo
okay,
was there, had a blast. Gojo and my dog, Cisco. Actually,
you know what I take away from that is that it was a party for the younger crowd.
Is that what it is? No, what about Thirsty Kyle? Why can't Thirsty Kyle and Daniel Dopp have been invited?
Because Thirsty Kyle went to bed before the game started.
He doesn't sleep. The man doesn't sleep.
So real talk for a second here. Absolutely brutal. Third football thought is that the minute that Russell Wilson decides he's no longer playing with Seattle, Pete Carroll should retire. Because Pete Carroll owes like so many. I mean, he admitted it himself.
He said it himself.
He says, if it was for Russell Wilson, I wouldn't have been here very long. Russell Wilson has bailed out Pete Carroll so many times. And without Russell Wilson, like, the word exposed is a strong one. So maybe I won't go there, but like, man.
A couple closing thoughts. Let me have a couple thoughts on these.
Okay, so here's what I would say. As bad as the Seahawks offense was last week, and as bad as you're just like, I just got to bail on this. They play the Jaguars next week
at
home.
That helps for sure. Yeah. I actually
feel like I'm still starting DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett next week.
I'm not. Yeah. I'm a little more.
And I get it. I mean, Lockett's been brutal.
Yeah. I'm worried about Lockett because he has been for so much of his career up and down. DK, like, I truly amount last night to Marshawn Lattimore's one of the best players in football in the NFL. Like, just period, end of story. Marshawn Lattimore is not, like, we don't talk about cornerbacks on this show that often. We should be talking about Marshawn Lattimore more. By the way, he has a matchup with Mike Evans, who he has been phenomenal against.
Correct.
This upcoming week. We'll talk about that later on in this week, I am sure.
One more thought on Alex Collins, too, because I think I've seen some people say, you know, they didn't think he ran well last night. I thought he ran well in the opportunity he had against a tough run defense. I mean, I did not chalk this up to Alex Collins being hurt. Maybe in terms of snap division, they gave Rashad Penny a little bit more work. But Alex Collins, to me, for somebody who's had a groin injury, actually moved really well. And I thought though, for there are people suggesting that it was the injury that held him up last night, and I don't think that's the case.
I would agree with that, Stefania, and I would also say that it was pretty clear that Alex Collins is still the guy. You saw a little bit of Rashad Penny. You saw a little bit of the other complimentary backs, but it was mostly the Alex Collins show. My expectations, it'll be him against the Jaguars, and I'll have him ranked fairly high. I think he'll do much better against Jacksonville. It's a home game for the Seahawks, you know, so Jacksonville's got to travel to Seattle, tough place to play. That was brutal. I get it with Lockett. I guess my only pro Lockett argument.
Best matchup of the year.
best matchup of the year, and the play that DK Metcalf scored on last night, which is where like he caught it tight in space, a missed tackle, and then DK was off to the races. That easily could be Tyler Lockett as well. Yeah. Tyler Lockett has that kind of speed, and so if you can get him on a slant, if you can get him on a short pass and then get him in space, he can beat you to the end zone. And so against Jacksonville, look, you don't have many – look, it's the Raiders are on a bye. None of those wide receivers you really care about. Other than the Ravens, Marquise Brown, we talked about Rashad Bateman, but it's literally there. You know, maybe you're without Devontae Adams. I guess I'm just going to say – Lockett's going to be inside my top 30 this week. There's no question.
I think I have him at 33 in my initial wide receiver ranks for week 8. Just closing thought here on DK.
He's a wide receiver 3 with upside. Yeah, I mean it's unfortunate until Russell Wilson gets back.
So, yeah, DK Metcalf, though, I think he's fine, to Matthew's point. Like, he may not be inside my top 10 this week because of no Russell Wilson, but you're still almost assuredly starting DK Metcalf, who got 17.6 fantasy points. And the Irish Twins of the War Room League, thank you for that, DK.
Hold it out by, like, what, 0.7?
0.62
fantasy 0.62 points. Over Shefty.
Oh,
nice
man.
Win
oh, my
there
God.
Finally, for you.
It was, that was sweating it out. Let's talk about the one good thing from last night, though. Alvin Kamara, because this was ridiculous. Alvin Kamara finished with 33.9 fantasy points. He had 20 carries for 51 yards. Even on a night in which he was incredibly inefficient as a runner, 33.9 fantasy points because he had a vintage Alvin Kamara game. He had 10 receptions. He had 123 yards last night through the air. Might have been 128, actually. He was incredible. We'll get that exact number. It is 10 catches for 128 and a receiving touchdown last night for Alvin Kamara. We've talked about how encouraging it's been that the Saints have been running much more with Alvin Kamara, Matthew. But the only thing better than Alvin Kamara running more or Alvin Kamara having his passing game usage like he did in previous years is when you get both. I mean, this is the second time in his career he's ever had 30 touches in a game. I mean, this is significant last night.
He was the only thing that was working. I mean, listen, credit the Seahawks defense. They took a lot away. And so I felt like some of it was designed, but a lot of it was just Jameis checking down to Kamara because he had nowhere else to go.
I thought more of it was designed than you do. I think, honestly, the Saints, and we know
some of it definitely was.
Like, they're just so limited right now at wide receiver. Yeah. And I know that Michael Thomas is going to make a huge, huge impact, we hope, when he returns. But until that time happens, like, if I'm the Saints, this might be the only way that I can move the football right now.
Well, they're not only limited in their pass catchers, they're limited running. I mean, like, Ty Montgomery felt like he operated as the, quote, backup running back for much of the game.
Yeah,
And so you had no Taysom Hill in this game either.
Yep.
Like, you know, normally you feel like Taysom Hill would get, you know, 5 rushes or something like that. They've, you know, 5 carries over the course of a game. And so they just didn't have, I mean, like, they had Alvin Kamara, and then they had, I guess we still only have Alvin Kamara.
Right.
Like, they didn't want to use Montgomery at all. I mean, it felt like it was encouraging to see Jameis Winston effectively checked down, whether it was designed or just because that's all he could do. It was exciting to see Winston do that because they have not used him in the passing game at the start of this year the way they are now more recently. So this is great. And Alvin Kamara, like, you know, he's if you redrafted today, this is an interesting question real quickly, and maybe we can get into this more on Wednesday. But if you drafted today from week 8 on for the rest of the season, Derrick Henry's number one.
I
think we agree.
Yep.
I think it's an argument at number 2, whether it's Dalvin Cook, whether it's Alvin Kamara, whether it's Christian McCaffrey. Probably not Christian McCaffrey because we're still waiting for him to come back.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, the earliest he could play is week 9. We don't know for sure he will. I would think it would be one of those 3 that you mentioned.
Right.
I think would be
Zeke's been pretty good, too. Zeke's been really good.
Right there in the mix as well. He has his bye behind him, too, which helps over someone like Derrick Henry, who has not yet had his bye.
My fantasy ride or die, Austin Eckler, has been nothing short of amazing, and he's just out of his bye.
Totally, yeah. So there's, I think he probably
Najee Harris is probably on the list as well. Jonathan Taylor's been great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, so.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, he is death
taxes. But that's the list, right? I mean, like, Alvin Kamara is right there, like, if you, I think Derrick Henry's number one, but if you were in a draft today for the rest of the season and someone took Kamara number one, you wouldn't look at him like, where'd that come from?
No, I mean, as we talked about, 51 rushing yards last night, and he had 34 fantasy points. Like, the PPR greatness of Alvin Kamara was unlocked last night. For those that
And that's
may
what's
have...
going to happen next week against Tampa Bay, too. Totally. Like, they ain't running on the Bucs.
No doubt. That's going to be their best effort to move the football, is not running, but instead using Alvin Kamara, hopefully to the tune of like 14 catches. Marquez Callaway, 3 catches for 32 yards. Still hasn't sort of realized that potential we saw during the preseason. So I don't know that he's going to be a player that ever makes the mark that we expected he could based off of the preseason buzz. Marquez Callaway been held under 10 points 4 times in 6 games this season. However, with his first catch last night, Kyle, something happened.
Yeah, that's all Callaway needed to eliminate DJ Gallo from our Survivor League. The great DJ Gallo. The funny DJ Gallo.
Yep.
The now eliminated DJ Gallo. Matthew Berry, what say you?
Great. So DJ Gallo is a producer of the Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry on ESPN+. Does a great job. Writes the majority of the stuff on that show. Really, really funny. Great producer, does a lot of other stuff here at ESPN as well, works on a number of shows, but we love DJ Gallo, we just don't love his team. He
was undone by some injuries.
It was undone, like he had Barkley, he had Galladay. I mean, like...
The worst game of Patrick Mahomes' career.
Patrick Mahomes was his quarterback as well. He also had Deontay Johnson and Mike Williams on a bye. So he'd have been fine if Patrick Mahomes had been Patrick Mahomes. But because Mahomes was so bad, he wasn't able to overcome the not having Johnson or Mike Williams, not having Saquon or Galladay. Right. Like, if Mahomes had been Mahomes, he'd been moving on. But because Mahomes was so bad, he went into last night's game. It was him and one other team. That team had Marquez Callaway with a 1 catch. DJ Gallo, no longer part of our Eliminator, our Survivor League. We are down to 11 teams. We started with 18. We are down to 11 teams. I'm still alive. Thirsty Kyle, you're still alive.
Oh, alive and kicking. I got Cook and McCaffrey. If they could get on the field, we'd be cooking.
Yeah, so yes. Thirsty Kyle and I still alive.
Believe Hello.
Stefania Bell.
Stefania Bell still alive.
Excuse me.
Elected by him.
Sorry.
Yeah, huh? I know. And my team could have beaten yours most of the week. So.
Yeah, Stefania's a very good team in this league. So Stefania's still alive. Matt Harrington, our producer here on the show, he's still alive.
Dave Presley's still alive. We've got quite a crew.
No, Harrington's gone. Sorry, Dave Presley's still alive. Dave Presley. One of the producers of the show as well. That's right. I forgot Harrington. I keep track. 7 teams have gone down.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
All right, we'll be back.
It's like Squid Game. Can't keep track of everything. All right, here we go.
We will talk about players to
add off
the waiver wire. But first, do you own rent your home?
Sure.
Sure you do.
Of course.
And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan. NFL fans know Field Yates. As the season gets underway, you got to have the right players for all 60 minutes to bring that spark, something DJ Gallo learned the hard way this week. And sometimes you got to sub somebody in to switch things up. Same goes for that drink in your hand on game day. So if you're looking to sub in something more refreshing, pour yourself a delicious, crisp Captain Morgan original spiced rum and ginger. Sub in the Captain, Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Captain near you. Drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Run Company, New York, New York.
We are back in time now to get into some of the waiver wire pickups for week 8. The good news is you survived by Mageddon, Matthew. You want to take over hosting duties for the next handful of
I would
of
love to.
Here?
Field Yates, you, of course, write the free agent finds column for ESPN.com. It's available now, part of your ESPN Plus subscription. Highly recommend a subscription to ESPN Plus because you can get Field's column. You can get Mike Clay's stuff.
Right.
You get the Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry. Mm-hmm. Get my column.
Wow.
Get Stefania's work. Get all sorts of good stuff.
Great stuff.
There as well. So ESPN Plus, by the way, if you're looking for an ESPN Plus subscription, one way to get it, rotopass.com.
What, tell me, I've never heard of
it. I keep it under the radar. Rotopass.com, by the way, you get access to 5 great fantasy sites plus a year subscription to ESPN Plus for 1 very low price, much cheaper than it would cost to buy all 6 of those sites separately. And here's the important part. It's a 12-month subscription, right? So like you start it today and you get it for the next 12 months all the way up until next October 26th. So no worries about that. They've got DFS lineup optimizers as well, in-season trade tools, all sorts of great stuff, including, again, 12 months to ESPN Plus. Field, on your free agent finds column, if you're without Lamar Jackson this week, if you're still without Russell Wilson, you've been sort of playing the bye week carousel at quarterback. You've been sort of streaming the position. You know, maybe you've been using Derek Carr. Those two guys are off this week. Who are we looking at?
Actually, interestingly enough, Tua Tagovailoa is not about this week for me, Matthew, because he plays Buffalo on Sunday,
a matchup love.
This is about the idea that in weeks 9, 10, and 11, he does have favorable matchups. In week 9, he plays the Houston Texans. Week 10, the Baltimore Ravens, who have allowed 400 passing yards in three games already this season. Week 11, he plays the Jets. Amongst the quarterbacks that will be on a bye in week 9, Tom Brady. In week 11, Matthew Stafford. Two players who are basically started every single week in even 10-team leagues. This is about looking ahead right now, because what I have found is, like in the NFL, the worst time to grab a quarterback is when you need a quarterback. Same thing applies in fantasy, right? So if you grab Tua now, you're not fighting with other people next week who might have a quarterback going on to a bye. As we talked about yesterday, he's completed over 70% of his passes in back-to-back games. You mentioned this stat. The Dolphins are throwing the football at a higher clip than any other team in the NFL right now, Matthew. They simply cannot run the ball. So I think Tua is kind of one of those smart, forward-thinking ads. 20-plus fantasy points in each of his past two games. Adds a little bit per week with his legs, enough to keep you honest as a defense and to maybe build you a 3 or 4 point buffer in your fantasy scoring lineup. He's done this without great weapons around him too, right? It's Mike Gesicki, it's Jalen Waddle, and that's about it that you trust amongst those pass catchers. I'm impressed.
It's
for
one
fantasy,
of the,
it, for fantasy. Let me be
right,
very clear.
It is the pass heaviest team in the NFL right now. There's no question about that. They can't run the ball. And they have played poor defense. So sounds right. Now, we'll see as the trade deadline approaches if Tua is still the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. That is something to reference here as well. And, you know, we'll see if Deshaun Watson ends up getting traded and where he winds up. So obviously, but by the way, we'll get into that later. Hey, Stefania, real quickly, as long as we're talking about Miami, they had an injury designation yesterday.
Oh, Malcolm Brown.
Yeah,
Malcolm Brown placed on IR, or headed to IR after suffering a quad injury in the first quarter. He was out early. He hasn't really done a lot. I mean, for fantasy purposes, he hasn't served you that well. Only 3 to 8 carries a game. And he really only had that 1 week where he found the end zone, you know, maybe a catch somewhere in those first 6 weeks here or there, but not super productive. So I don't know how much is being given up to Miles Gaskin with Malcolm Brown's departure, but I suppose that work has to go somewhere.
Yeah, there is some. I mean, there is some, right? I mean, it's 27%+ of the snaps from Malcolm Brown this year. So I think there's two potential fallouts from this. One is just those 27% of the snaps have to go somewhere, and Miles Gaskin could absorb, let's say, 80% of the Malcolm Brown snaps. That's notable. And then B is sometimes when you are forced into making a change, it makes you realize, like, whatever you have left over, are we best utilizing that? And I think Miami, and we've been begging for this for weeks now, and it was fine last week. I mean, Gaskin got you over 17 fantasy points. I'm not going to complain that much. But that should be the usage for him almost every single week. Like, he should be their third, he should have weeks where he is the third highest targeted pass catcher in their offense, and he should get somewhere between 8 and 12 carries a game.
Yeah, and you know, and Brown is somebody that they like and that they've used somewhat throughout the season in the red zone. So maybe Gaskin can get some more, you know, high quality touches as well. You know, if even if he gets, you know, one or two more red zone touches a game, that's helpful. Be interesting to see what happens with Savon Ahmed as well. But my expectation here is that if there is a benefit to Malcolm Brown going on IR, it's that, yes, hopefully some more consistent work for Miles Gaskin, who got 19 touches and played well last week, but his workload has been certainly inconsistent there. You know, let's move on. A question for you. If you need a quarterback for this week, Field, do you have a thought there? If you're trying to replace Lamar Jackson, if you've been using, you know, just streaming a guy a week at a time in place of Russell Wilson, any thoughts?
One that comes to mind is Daniel Jones for the New York Giants. Obviously, we don't know whether Sterling Shepard or Kenny Galladay or Kadarius Toney will be available on Monday night. Saquon Barkley as well. But if any or all of them are available, you like the outlook better And the matchup is pristine, right? You're playing against the Chiefs, who have been as bad as there has been defensively all year. Ryan Tannehill had kind of a fix-me game on Sunday, if you will, after a slow start to his season. So that will be one that comes to mind. Matthew, I think you might have a couple thoughts on some quarterbacks this week that you might think have some value in week
eight. I mean, I like Trevor Lawrence as well. I mean, yeah. I would agree with you. Daniel Jones would be second on my list. I do think Trevor Lawrence, who's played better. Now, it's a tough matchup on the road at Seattle. That's a tough place to play. But I do think Trevor Lawrence is an interesting player. Coming out of the bye, I think he'll be better, more familiar with the offense. He's been good the last couple of weeks going into the bye. And Taylor Heinicke, look, Taylor Heinicke should have had a rushing touchdown last week. He's getting a lot of points with his legs.
By hook or by crook, right?
By hook or by crook. They're at Denver this week. It's not a great matchup there, but I think he's been, you know, I think Taylor Heinicke actually is, you know, again, I think if you looked past the box score and just watched that game, which I did, he should have had a lot more points than he actually did.
Sure.
And so, you know, I think Taylor Heinicke is probably a better streamer than he probably gets credit for if you're just looking at the box score.
Okay, so those are a couple options for quarterbacks, Matthew. But let's get back to running backs here for a second, shall
we? Absolutely. Yeah. So Miles Sanders was the big injury. Stefania talked about it yesterday. No update, I assume, Stefania, on Miles Sanders?
Yeah. I think, you know, he has a low-grade lateral ankle sprain, so more your typical ankle sprain. You can see it on the video. They're calling him week to week, but you never know what that means. I would say it's not looking great for this week, but
yeah, Nick Sirianni said yesterday it's unlikely he'll play this upcoming Sunday. So maybe week nine, but for now, week eight seems to be comfortably out of the picture for Miles.
Not
Sanders.
As serious as it looked is the point. When he got carted off, there was a lot of concern
that he's
a longer
lost for
time,
the season,
yeah,
sure,
or at least multiple weeks.
Yep.
So let's talk about the players that step up next. And
yes,
we had
sir.
This conversation yesterday, but we'll reiterate it. Is Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott played quite a bit on Sunday. Kenneth Gainwell found the end zone as a receiver, Boston Scott as a runner. Neither one of them is your sort of typical build for a guy who's going to have 20 or so touches in a game at running back. But if I had to choose one, if I had to play one, I would be playing Kenneth Gainwell because of the fact that he's a better pass catcher. And as we know, as has been discussed 1 million times so far this year in Philadelphia, they have shown little interest in consistently running the football, so you would lean towards the guy who's got more upside catching the ball. So
correct.
I'm going with Kenneth Gainwell. In my initial ranks, I do not have either Eagles running back inside my top 20, Matthew. It's hard to know for certain if the plan will change now that they have a whole week to make this plan, right? Like, it's one thing when you have to adjust in the middle of the game, when you have a whole week to figure out what you want to do. That's a different story. They do play the Lions.
I was going to say,
it's a matchup that scares
right,
you.
Correct.
But I think we, as we described yesterday, Kenneth Gainwell has a chance to basically be like Miles Sanders, but a little bit less. Meanwhile, Boston Scott has a chance to be like Kenneth Gainwell, maybe a little bit more in this new look off or new look running attack. Like, I don't know. I'm sort of a lukewarm endorsement, if you will, of these two running backs.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it's a thin list, obviously, at the position.
Always bad waiver wire week. It just is.
It's a bad waiver wire week. Worth seeing. Kenyon Drake is not 100% rostered. We've had a lot of fun with Kenyon Drake over the last couple
Alex
of weeks.
Alex Collins as well. Another one.
Alex Collins as well. Both guys, like, see if they're available in your league. You know, they may have been dropped due to Bimageddon, but neither is 100% rostered and probably should be. And we'd prefer either one of those guys to any of the guys that are on the list here. You know, I mean, listen, if you want to be forward thinking, you know what I mean? I think, you know, one guy that I would mention is Samaje Perine. Insurance for Joe Mixon. I mean, you know, had the nice run last week, scored the touchdown. He's very clearly the backup to Joe Mixon. That's a pretty good offense.
Yeah.
So if you just wanted to be forward thinking, Brandon Bolden looks like he's going to be James White. I mean, it's so weird, but like, he had another good game this past weekend. You know, I mean, Ramondre Stevenson was a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
Which was somewhat shocking, to be honest with you. But another good game for Brandon Bolden.
Running backs, you never know, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And what's the roster percentage of Michael Carter, by the way?
It's much higher than you think.
Okay,
it's like 75%.
Okay, fair enough. But also another guy that's worth to see if somehow he's still available, because his usage was encouraging. Let's move over to wide receivers field.
Before we do, though, actually, only because Kyle just mentioned this to me. And so part of the challenge of writing the waiver column is not like we don't have a page that says like here are all the players available in more than 50% of leagues, and I just sort through them. There are some times when I trust the players have remained well above 50%. So if Joe Burrow has a big day on Sunday, I'm not going to check his roster percentage because I know he's well above 50%. Kirk Cousins has now fallen under 50% rostership on ESPN.com. He was well above that before. That makes no sense to me.
That's
Kyle's just passed that information along. He's been great this year on a points per game basis.
He's a top 10
quarterback.
He's a top 10 fantasy quarterback.
It's ridiculous. I think
was
there
it
are
just
so many...
because it was a bye week? Like, that's weird, but I think it's because maybe it's a bye week and people pick somebody else up.
I think it's two things, Stefania. I think it's the bye week.
Okay.
And I also think it's a so he had a huge game against Carolina prior to the bye in week six. But weeks 4 or 5, he had pretty pedestrian efforts. So he was great through the first 3 weeks. Weeks 4 and 5, off the top of my head, he was not particularly good. Thirsty Kyle's giving me a thumbs up here. Wait, go ahead. Get on mic. What was it?
He had 10 points in week 4, 13 against the Lions in week 5, and then you got the whole primetime Kirk Cousins narrative this week.
Right. So, but he's playing Dallas. I mean, yeah. I can't imagine the... Let me look real quickly. The game against Dallas, the over-under is 54.5.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we expect, obviously, the Cowboys to come out of the bye. We expect Dak Prescott to play in this game. We expect the Cowboys to come out of the bye and put up a lot of points here. So Kirk Cousins, who in a tough matchup prior to the bye against Carolina was great, and again, on a points-per-game basis, is literally a top-10 fantasy quarterback this year. He's been great 4 out of the 6 weeks he's played. I would prefer Kirk Cousins to Daniel Jones, to any of those other guys.
Anybody.
Trevor Lawrence, to any of those guys here.
He's a good pivot, by the way. If you have Dak and you don't have a backup quarterback, the Cowboys are optimistic as of right now that Dak will play. But who knows, right? I mean, it's a calf. We've seen a lot of calf injuries nag so far this year. I'd snatch Kirk Cousins right now because if something happens, if Dak is a surprise inactive, or if we find out Sunday morning he's not going to play, Cousins is a really, really nice pivot.
Too speculative at, you know, we're just talking about the future in terms of Tua. I'll just mention this at quarterback just since we're back on the position very quickly. Two speculative ads.
Okay.
One would be Trey Lance. Okay. So lukewarm endorsement of Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco.
I don't know, man. It's...
It's. I wouldn't touch it right now.
I think Kyle's...
You wouldn't touch Trey Lance?
I think he's dug in on Jimmy G.
I think... It's San Francisco's mess right now for a number of reasons, but I don't think Trey Lance is going to give you, for a quarterback investment, what you want.
Okay. I do not think you're starting Trey Lance this week, no matter what. I'm just saying, if you're looking towards the future, is this a guy that could, towards the end of the season, have a Jalen Hurts-like end of the season? I think he could, based on if, I mean, the 49ers are 2-5. Right. Right, you know, another loss or two, and you're just like, all right, let's see what we got in the
kid.
They're
2-4, but still.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a bye. Sorry,
thankfully, they're two and four.
We couldn't lose then. Yeah.
Listen, Stefania, they're about to be 2-5. Yeah, it's fine. Blah, blah, blah. Listen. Whatever.
Falcons, Titans, and Texans, weeks 15, 16, 17. So if he's starting.
I mean, we're so far.
Yeah,
away.
We're so, I know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyways, I'm just saying, okay. and I'll just say Deshaun Watson. Again, it feels dumb to talk about Deshaun Watson in a fantasy football context, given everything that's going on around him in a larger context. But I will merely say, since we are a fantasy football show, that if Deshaun Watson is traded, it is likely he is going to be the starter immediately, and he would have immediate fantasy value. All right. Bingo bango. Let's move on.
Yeah.
To wide receivers now, Field Yates, and talk about Baltimore's Rashad Bateman.
Yeah, I'm going to go through three in a row here before we move on to emptying the bucket from week 7. I'll give you three wide receivers in succession. Good TV show if you haven't watched it already. Rashad Bateman, who you mentioned, Matthew, who was actually your long shot pick and played well on Sunday. Again, he had 80 receiving yards on 3 catches. He's got back-to-back games with 6 targets. He's got back-to-back games showing well, playing a significant role for Baltimore. They do not play this week, but I do think it's pretty clear this guy's got plenty of talent. Baltimore has been raving about him. You play with Lamar Jackson, good things can happen. I would be investing in Rashad Bateman now, and you could probably do so given the fact that they're on a bye this week. I don't know how many league mates are going to be saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to grab a guy who has zero value to me in week 8.
And by the way, worth seeing, like, I always think that's when buys happen and people get stuck, seeing who's available coming off of Bye-mageddon, or I don't know, maybe unlikely, but you never know if somebody, maybe they might release Bateman. It's always important to look at the waiver wire after waivers runs to see who has been dropped in your league.
Next one for me is Dante Pettis, and this has a huge asterisk next to it. That's if he does, if he plays, it's a byproduct of Sterling Shepard and Kenny Galladay and Kadarius Toney being unavailable on Monday night. If you go look at the projections right now for Dante Pettis, I believe it's a 0.0 from Mike Clay because we are counting on the possibility that any of those wide receivers for the Giants are available. But if you're concerned about one of them not being available, Dante Pettis has had back-to-back games looking pretty good for the New York Giants. Good for him for capitalizing on the opportunity.
Yeah, here's what the rule is. Get released from the 49ers where you're not functioning in their offense and go shine for somebody else. That's Dante Pettis, 2 weeks elevated from the practice squad to your point field, 5 receptions, 2 weeks in a row, gets in the end zone.
I look forward to a future New Orleans Saints Brandon Ayuk going crazy for 1,000 yards, right?
Yeah, that's next.
You understand that Washington had Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, and Kyle Shanahan on the same staff as assistants, and every single one of them is gone. Oh, by the way, they had John Schneider in the front office as well.
Yeah.
Like, do you understand the amount of talent that has left Washington that has gone on to have massive success in the NFL elsewhere? I don't want to hear this, Stefania, about you in San Francisco.
Again, I'm just saying, these are Kendrick
Sean
Bourne,
Sean McVay was
Dante
our tight
Pettis.
Ends coach. What?
I was saying Kendrick Bourne, Dante Pettis, some of these former 49er receivers who didn't shine there have been doing pretty well so far this year.
All right, one more.
But the important part there about Dante Pettis, jokes aside, as you mentioned, Monday night. So it's some just you may not
pivot,
know, right?
Good matchup with the Chiefs, too.
Correct.
Right?
So. But you may not know the status of Shepard, Slayton, Galladay, you know, Tony, all those guys until late in the week. Next guy up,
Christian Kirk.
Sure.
Who we've talked about several times on this podcast. He's got 50 or more receiving yards in 5 of 7 games this season, 15 fantasy points this past Sunday. As we talked about, the hard part about having someone like Christian Kirk on your roster is that you don't know when to play him. But as you said, Matthew, yesterday, is that like if you have Christian Kirk, you're basically just playing him almost every single week because you know they're going to be more than a handful in which he's useful, but you're going to have to live with the occasional 3-for-32 game from Christian Kirk. Talented player, great quarterback. Don't overthink it much more than that. He's available in just under 70% of leagues.
If you roster him, you're putting him in your lineup and you are forgetting about him. You're doing that with any Arizona wide receiver. Just once again, we talked about this at the top of the show, but just since we're in the wide receiver section, I just want to reiterate that if you need someone for this week, we both like Alan Lazard more than any of the guys you just mentioned.
I would agree.
Who is going to fill in for, we don't expect Davante Adams to play on Thursday night as of this taping.
By the way, I want to earmark a DeAndre Hopkins conversation.
Okay.
Because he's been scoring a ton, but his value has changed quite a bit this year. He is playing a much different, like the target share is way down compared to where it normally has been. I wonder if that's an interesting sort of potential. If your trade deadline is coming around the corner, I wonder if DeAndre Hopkins might be like, it's hard
sell
to call
high.
Him a sell high. Sort of a sell high. I mean, he's DeAndre Hopkins. You're always selling high.
The argument the argument there is that what happens if the touchdowns go away on some level?
Right. He has more touchdowns this year than last year. We played 7 games and he has more touchdowns than all of last season.
Right, which has kept his fantasy value afloat in a significant way because he's not getting the massive volume that he got last year.
How many catches does he have right now, Kyle? Can you pull that, DeAndre Hopkins?
He's been a top 10 receiver just once this season. So, I mean, that's kind of going where.
But I bet if you look at his total points this year, he's probably one of the 10 or 12 highest scoring receivers total because of just he's been piecing together a lot of like top 20-ish finishes, but not as many top 10 finishes.
He's got a couple of multi-touchdown games.
Yeah.
You know, so
33 catches this year, 4 games with under 5 catches.
All right, so 33 catches this year, which puts him on pace for just over 100 catches, which obviously that's really good, right? But some seasons you've been getting, 115 catches from DeAndre Hopkins and 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns. So
DeAndre Hopkins is really good. He is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL on a pure talent basis.
Phenomenal, yeah.
Right? He's amazing. But in terms of his name value and name recognition may be higher than his actual fantasy production at this point.
Yeah,
and totally. So maybe there's a way that you could trade him, you know, at top 5 fantasy wide receiver value when he's really more like top 12. You know what I mean?
That's fair. Yeah,
right?
Totally.
So that's the idea. We will empty out the bucket and some of the things we didn't get to yesterday in a minute, Field. But first, I know you're a college football fan. You love your BC Eagles.
Let's go, Eags.
And after an offseason that felt a little more off than usual, Fansville and Dr. Pepper invite you, Field, to celebrate because college football is back. So are the fans. Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year again, the season of Saturdays, when rivalries run deep and nacho cheese dip runs even deeper. So crack open an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, warm up your cornhole-tossing arm, and return to glory with an all-new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Supercuts. Hair, it has a way of growing back faster than we want it to. And somehow we can feel like we need more haircuts than we have time for. Luckily, Supercuts is here to make grabbing a haircut easy. Supercuts is here for you if you're someone who needs a haircut but doesn't think they have the time for a haircut. No more scouring the web for salons with availability. You can use the Supercuts app to find the location nearest to you and check in or just walk in. Another bonus, the salon shows estimated wait times so you know exactly what you're in for. As for the cut itself, it's always super solid thanks to Supercuts' highly trained stylist. Get in, get out, and get to that thing you need a haircut for. Whether you've got a first date or a vacation coming up, or you just want to look good, Supercuts makes getting a haircut effortless. It's not just any haircut, it's Supercuts. Check in now on the Supercuts app or on supercuts.com. We are going to empty the bucket on week 7, and emptying the bucket is brought to you by Captain Morgan. Bench boring drinks and sub in the captain on game day. Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL. Let's get into the backfield breakdowns from week 7, Matthew, and talk about a handful of them. The Washington football team. We talked all week about how, hey, this could be a game where they're playing from behind. Yeah. Perhaps Shady McKissick has a big day.
Yeah.
Part of that was correct. He played a lot. 45 snaps to Antonio Gibson. He had 9.6 fantasy points to 7.6 for Antonio Gibson, who continues to be, as I will call him, a major disappointment.
He had a bad fumble, inside the 10-yard line in a goal-to-go situation. So I think if he doesn't fumble and he scores, I think the narrative on Gibson is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it instead of 7.6, if nothing else, at least it's 9.6.
Right.
But still, there's no question about it. That was Gibson is not delivered in the promise that he showed last year. No one on Washington has. The team's a mess.
But I think
the team's
to be
an
fair,
absolute mess.
Gibson is playing hurt. And I think the injury is definitely in Field. You don't look like you believe me, but
no, I believe. I know he's hurt. I just don't see special in him. I don't. I simply don't.
Wow.
I
you
think
see special in him. You see special. You are a Washington football team fan, and you
I'll
see.
You
say I see special.
Did you see special last year?
That's what I was going to say.
I saw solid.
I saw
okay.
I saw special last. I saw special last year.
I saw solid.
And I think this year
he is running with a stress fracture. Like I can't emphasize enough how much as somebody who had 3 tibial stress fractures, like running and trying to play through this, I think is much more problematic than people are talking about. His yards per carry are way down. I understand that he looks like he's slow running, but he's not conditioning. He's not practicing. He's not doing the things that he would normally be doing. I think it's impacting him way more than people are giving it credit for.
And here's the other thing, Stefania, that we've talked about before is that in Washington, 2 of the medical trainers, for Washington are on paid medical leave, on paid administrative leave, I should say, paid administrative leave. Like the people that are helping care, the department that is helping care for the Washington football team, that department is a mess. Like literally Antonio Gibson's like going down to the Minute Clinic saying like, can you wrap this? I mean, I'm joking a little bit, but not much. Like honestly, the Washington should have shut Antonio Gibson down. They should have put him on IR, made him rest for 3 weeks. The whole franchise is it's tough sledding here.
I think it's a problem for him. It is a problem for the team. In his performance because of what he's playing through. I think that's part of it.
I mean, there are a lot of examples of running backs that are playing through stuff right now. They look great.
Yeah, Dalvin
Cook's been on Bob Eckler's great. Austin Eckler is playing for a hamstring
broken,
injury in week one. Had 10 catches.
By the way, he also missed.
Okay,
it's different.
He was also missing two starting offensive linemen last week as well. I mean, look. Washington is beat up, like on every aspect.
Fine, okay,
all
fine,
that,
okay,
all
fine. I'm down on him as a player relative to you. Like, I don't see. Like, that's it.
By the way, 100% fair. And regardless of whether he is playing hurt or not, but regardless of whether he's playing behind a bad offensive line or not, the fact is he's not producing fantasy wise. Regardless
no
of our opinion on him as a player, the results are the same. He has been a disappointment fantasy-wise relative to draft position. That we agree with. I don't think he's as big a disappointment as you do, Like, I'm willing to grade more of a more on a scale here. Like, yeah, I think Saquon Barkley a much bigger disappointment.
Sure,
for
he's
example.
Been hurt. Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
But anyway,
disappointment. Yeah.
In terms of moving forward here, like, I feel like J.D. It's weird, right? J.D. McKissic has outscored him 3 of the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, if you had the two of them and you had to choose one, I'd be choosing J.D. McKissic right now.
I mean,
I'm not. That's not going to work out every single week. It is not, because there are going to be a couple of games where Gibson has enough volume as a runner to get past J.D. McKissic. But if you're choosing between the two of them every single week and you can only choose one, I'm choosing J.D. McKissic. They're so bad on defense. They're not that good offensively that they're going to be able to have big leads. Like, J.D. McKissic's probably going to have 5 to 6 targets in most games.
I would agree with that. In this particular week, though, they play Denver. They're on the road at Denver. I will have Gibson ranked higher than McKissic just because
I think higher. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can run on Denver. We just saw D'Ernest Johnson run all over them last week. And I also don't think that they will be Washington, as bad as Washington's defense is. Denver just doesn't have an explosive enough offense where I think that Washington is suddenly going to be trailing in a significant way. Having said that, their defense is brutal and make everyone look good. Denver does get Jerry Judy back this week. Yeah. So
sweet. That's sweet.
You know, yeah. I mean, like, anything's possible, but I will have Gibson over McKissic. But to your point, Field, it's much closer in terms of fantasy value between these two running backs than previously thought.
Let's go to Chicago, where Khalil Herbert played 51 snaps to 10 for Damian Williams. Damian Williams came off the COVID list on Saturday afternoon. It's really difficult to know exactly how much Sunday's snap split was about Khalil Herbert or how much of it was about Damian Williams and probably not being anywhere close to where he wanted to be conditioning-wise. The Bears, as we know right now, are dealing with fairly significant COVID issues as they not only have 4 players on the COVID-19 list, their head coach Matt Nagy is now on the COVID-19 list as well. So it could be that Damian Williams was active because they're so thin at running back, they weren't going to play him much, and they had enough players that were going to be inactive anyways. They didn't have to put him on the inactive list, Matthew. So I don't, like, I think my instinct is that they really do like what they've seen from Khalil Herbert and that Damian Williams will probably never be like a 75% of the snaps player. But I do think that I expect more of him this upcoming week against San Francisco based off of the fact that he'll have a full week of practice and conditioning.
I would agree with that, although I will say Herbert was really impressive.
He was impressive, totally.
He looked really good
against a
tough Buccaneers run defense, and one of the knocks on Herbert was, well, no passing game usage. Well, he caught 5 balls against the Buccaneers. So you're like, oh, well, if they're going to use this kid in the passing game as well, man, oh, man, like, really impressive. Khalil Herbert, by the way, what's his rostership percentage?
It's much. Like 70%. Yeah, it's
but again, like another guy that, see if he's somehow available in your league, in your 10-team league, because he's not 100% rostered, and he needs to be, certainly until David Montgomery comes back.
Yeah, which, by the way, you know, he had a knee spray. He hyperextended his knee, and we haven't really talked about it much because he got put on IR. So he's had 3 games that he's been absent now, but I'm looking at their schedule and knowing that they have a bye at week 10. I think it's more than a 3-week injury. We won't know until he's back doing stuff with the team, but this is something that could keep Montgomery out till potentially after the bye unless he shows a lot of progress in practice. So you could get some value out of Herbert for a few weeks.
Worth note, I mean, like, so I definitely think you're starting Herbert this week. Damian Williams feels like it's more of a wait and see this week in a normal size league, in a 10 or 12 team league. It's like wait to see what his role is.
I think so too. I think so as well, because I think there's a scenario in which it's back to sort of 50-50-ish. And it's worth noting that, like, and maybe the Bears have just sort of discovered Khalil Herbert during this process, but in the first game, it was definitely Damian Williams ahead of Khalil Herbert. And
correct,
he's a very good pass catcher as well as Damian Williams. So we'll see whether this becomes much more of an even split. And if it does, then in a deeper league, perhaps both of them have a little bit of value. In Green Bay, it was the Aaron Jones show for most of their Week 7 win. A.J. Dillon fumbled. He played just 13 snaps. But once again, Aaron Jones' his carry count, here it is over the past 5 games, 19, 15, 14, 13, 6. Surprising here, Matthew. I think it's a big week this week. I haven't eyed my top 10 against Arizona, but I can see why people are a little bit concerned right now.
Yeah, certainly. I guess for me, I feel like he's an opportunity to buy low. You look at their upcoming, like, I mean, just they didn't need to run the ball against Washington because, again, our secondary is so brutal. They didn't need to. But I think he'll be more involved in the passing game here. And look at their upcoming schedule. At Arizona, at Kansas City, home to Seattle, which may have Russell Wilson back by then, at Minnesota. So three of the next four, they're definitely playing against pretty good offenses where they're going to have to throw it, you know, to keep up. And potentially all four of the next, you know, four of the next four if Wilson's back for that Seattle game. And so I just feel like he's going to be more involved in the passing a game than A.J. Dillon. I know we've seen A.J. Dillon start to get more and more involved, but still it's going to be Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I agree with the thought process.
I just think Aaron Jones is the better player. I think he's a, you know, I think he's a special guy. I think it's the usage has been a little bit weird, but I'm still sticking by him as an RB1. And I actually think I would try to acquire him if there is a frustrated manager in your league with Aaron Jones.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on how much his role changes, if at all, without Devontae Adams on Thursday night. Again, the big, big news coming out of Green Bay yesterday. Devontae Adams has been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. All right, so we have more that we could probably get to, but let's leave it there, Matthew, as we are going to come back on Wednesday. Matthew and I will be here. Stefania will be back with us on Thursday. We'll have all sorts of injury updates and news updates and anything else that could come up in the NFL. No one was guessing Devontae Adams would be out as of yesterday.
But that's, you never know.
The NFL for you, especially
there you go.
This never
season.
Know.
Two MVPs missing. Devontae Adams, Daniel Dobb.
Wow, well said. But good job by you, Kyle, filling in today. He'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, we'll talk to you guys on Wednesday.
Peace out.
Turning numbers into dreams. That's what he'll do. Along with random Damien, he's in Fields Group. The deepest voice you'll ever hear.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.